to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 147 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. I hope everyone is having a fantastic week. I'm always having a great week when I'm doing bonus shows. It is a bonus show Thursday. So real quick, I've got to throw a plug out there. If you haven't checked out the show from Tuesday with Ryan Ellis and Dustin Albino from the Front Stretch, make sure you go check that out. No long opening tonight because my guests are already on the line. You guys know what we're here for tonight. A little Big Ten college football preview with a little dash in NASCAR. Something fun to do to kick off college football season, which is here. Most NASCAR fans are football fans, so why not do a little fun bonus show here? That said, first up, he was a member of the Michigan Football and Athletics Department back when I was a toddler. He's provided weather content for the Lap Traffic Podcast, and he is your current leader of the Lap Traffic Fantasy League, Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, good evening. Go Blue. How are you?
Good evening, sir. Go Blue. And I had no idea you were that age when I was at Michigan.
I'm pretty sure I wasn't too far off. So.
Yeah, let's not make it a math problem, but yeah, yes. I'm pretty sure you're right. But I never really put it together, which I think a lot of people say about me altogether. Well, so that's fine.
There you go. All right. And Lat Traffic Nation, very special guest that I am very excited about. I lost a bet to him last year, which I made good on at MIS this year, making his fifth appearance on the Lat Traffic Podcast. He is the driver of the number 36 with Front Row Motorsports from the state down south. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Matt Tiff. What's up, brother? How are you, man?
Well, I just got through puking after I heard that go whatever color that was.
Oh, this is going to be fun. We're starting already. I love it. I love it. Guys, welcome to the show. Thank you both for taking some time out tonight to do something completely different and unique to the Lat Traffic Podcast. So, guys, let's. You guys ready to have some fun tonight?
Oh, yeah. Right. I'm just wondering if I want to get a bill every time I say the.
It's actually the, I believe.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, that'd be awesome. The Ohio University, since they were the first ones in the state of built down there.
I love it.
Well,
love
that's it. If you can. Hey, you can complain about it all you want as long as you keep watching your team lose on in November every year. That's
We'll get there. Eventually. We'll get there. But I think the best stat I saw during that game is that Michigan. Football defense gave up more points in that game than the basketball team had up to that point of the season.
See, yikes. That's bad. All right. We're going to put the football talk on hold for just a second. Matt, let's talk NASCAR for a few minutes. First of all, let's talk your rookie season at Front Row. Top 10 at the Daytona race here a few weeks ago in July. Obviously a plus to be able to say you got a top 10 in your rookie year. I think some other pluses are outside of the Daytona 500 and Talladega. You have been able to finish every race, which from an amateur perspective, that's huge to say that you did that as a rookie. You're in the Cup Series. You're not going out there tearing up equipment and all that kind of stuff. You're getting valuable seat time from start to finish of the race. Is that something that you're able to use and build going into your sophomore year next year?
Oh, yeah, you certainly hope so. I mean, I think there's some value in that and knowing, from a team owner perspective that, I can go out and do a good job. And we've had some really good, strong, consistent finishes in there too. And, you know, the beginning of the year wasn't exactly how we wanted it to be for the whole organization, but I feel like lately it's been clicking a little bit better and getting some consistent finishes. But like you said, the big thing in there is we're not going out there and having to, put new front clips or rear clips on. And but it's hard because, you know, this has been a huge transition year for everybody with this new package. And
sure.
It's even tougher knowing that you got this for a couple more years before you transition over to a Gen 7 car, which is going to look totally different again. So I think there definitely is a value in that, knowing that I'm not tearing up stuff. But at the same time, you know, you want to make sure you put yourself in good position to gain, track position out there. And certainly we've had some bent up fenders and doors and stuff while we're trying to pass people and get what we can out there. But you try to keep it to that rather than having to take it back to the chassis shop and start over on those cars.
Oh, for sure. Now, you know, you mentioned the rules, the car package, all that kind of stuff. You know, years past when we would see Cup drivers come down into the Xfinity Series, you know, and maybe pull double duty, you know, they'd always be asked, well, what'd you learn for Sunday? And the common response was nothing. And this year, you know, you've heard guys like Kyle Busch and Keselowski that have run that and have said this is the most comparable that the two cars have ever been. You spent a lot of time in the Xfinity Series last year and now a rookie in the Cup Series. Do you feel like there was some similarities with this rules package to what the Xfinity Series is running?
You know, I think the comparison there for me is when we run the 750 package on the Cup Series side, that to me feels a lot like the Xfinity package because your throttle points and your pickup points there and your braking is very similar to what you run in an Xfinity car. Now the 550 package, to me, that feels a little bit more like a truck that would drive. So I think you kind of have a combination between both series, which is not a bad thing for, you know, the developmental steps of what we have right now for our top three national series. But, you know, the funny thing I hear of, and I haven't gone back and drove an Xfinity car this year. So the funny thing I hear is, these guys go in there and they go, man, these things, referring to the Xfinity cars, they say, man, these things drive like crap. it's because we're used to big spoilers and big splitters. And what's funny about that is it used to be with the Cup cars these last few years of having the tiny spoilers and tiny splitters, they get in the Xfinity car and go, wow, this thing's got so much downforce. Well, that car never changed. The Cup car changes, right. And all of a sudden the Xfinity cars are driving like crap and ours are Cadillacs.
That's awesome. I love it.
Or Lincolns. I'm not sure Lincoln. What the political thing is on the manufacturer side.
So Matt, you guys are headed to Darlington this week, and as much as you've been on the show, I don't know we've ever really talked about your racing roots, which also have a tie back to Michigan, which is awesome. You guys announced earlier this week that you will run a throwback this weekend honoring the late model car that your dad owned and driven by Michigan Motorsports Hall of Fame driver David Hickler. Talk about what that means to you and your family and all that going into Darlington this weekend.
Yeah, you know, it was such a special deal for me, and really how it got started was we were looking at throwback cars, and what I've done historically over the last couple of years with the number 2 car and the number 19 car was looking at historical paint schemes for that number. And the hard part was when you looked at the 36, your choices were a Ken Schrader M&M's car, sure, and Ernie Irvin Skittles car, or Mike Bliss Kim Kardashian perfume car. So two of the three have been run by Kyle Busch, and the third one I don't think anybody wants to run. So so yeah, we got to thinking, and I wanted to surprise my dad, and obviously that was you know, really the stepping stone of you know, our relationship and their growing up going to the racetrack. And you know, he raced with David Hilliker, the driver of that car, when, you know, they were in high school. My dad had a street stock, and so they grew up racing at the Mount Pleasant Speedway where my grandparents live. And so we go up to Bear, Merritt Speedway, Crystal Motor Speedway, Cherry, which has shut down, but there's, you know, so many tracks up there that I grew up in the summers going to with my dad and watching that race car. And, you know, it was always such a special deal for me. So to be able to, you know, honor not only my dad, but David Hilliker and really what those, you know, years meant, you know, that really shaped my life and my my drive to become a race car driver. And you know, there's so many great memories of going up there in the summer and hanging out with family and then going over to the racetrack and watching that car. And, you know, it's so special to be able to bring that to the track this weekend. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of a full circle deal. And I'm really excited about the fact we get to run with it. That's it'll definitely be a special weekend for sure. And hopefully that'll be our best run of the year. That'd be awesome.
That's awesome, man. Well, best of luck this weekend for sure. You know, one of the things, excuse me, with throwback week at Darlington, paint schemes means die casts and collectors. Matt, are you into collecting like your own stuff that you run? Is everyone going to get a Darlington throwback die cast at Christmas from you? do you get into that whole thing?
You know, I actually did order some special made diecasts of our Ron John car just from being our first cup top 10 finish and all that kind of stuff. So,
sure.
You know, when I was a little kid, I used to collect diecast cars all the time, and I really don't get them much. You know, obviously as the years go on, you don't do that quite as much anymore.
You got the full size one.
yeah. So, you know, really the only ones I have are ones that fans have made me, but, or, you know, if a sponsor has said, hey, we want you to have this, and I think that's cool. But certainly, this weekend is one of the special ones for collectors, to get those cars. And I have no idea how the diecast process works of pre-ordering them or whatever to get them made, but, I certainly hope they do with this. And if not, if somebody makes it, that would be really cool to find some time and, you know, just put on the family shelf and trophy room and stuff. That would be pretty sweet to, you know, have that looking back at all the memories and stuff with that 21 car from Michigan.
Absolutely. Aaron, what about you? Do you collect any of the diecasts or anything like that?
I have some. I don't have this big I've seen other people's on Twitter, but I have cars. When I first got into the sport, I was a Ward Burton fan. I hadn't really watched NASCAR until I just happened to sit down one day and watch the 500, and he won, and I was a Dodge guy already. I'd grown up a Dodge guy in my family, so I became a Ward Burton fan. So a friend of mine got me a hat that him and Bill Davis had signed, and I'd gone out and found some of the Hardy's cars. And then I just have a lot of cars that I just think are great designs that I absolutely love. Now, obligatory, I have a Michael Waltrip Dreams Come True at Aaron's car.
That's cool.
Old Dodge car, and Matt DiBenedetto was, and I was at the Darlington race 3 years ago when he ran the Orange Crush scheme, and I absolutely freaking love that scheme. So it's just a lot of little things where I sat down and loved the car rather than say, okay, I'm this guy's fan and I want to go out and buy everybody's everybody's car now.
I'm with you. So Matt, Aaron and I are actually doing a fantasy football draft online as we speak. Do you play fantasy football with any of the drivers or anything like that?
You know, I haven't with any other drivers, and that's mainly because I play one with my cousin and a couple friends of ours and some other guys that that he knows. And the reason I don't play with other drivers is because I'm so bad at it. And the reason I'm so bad at it is every year, now I actually get into it during the season, but it never fails that that I always forget when our draft night is. And no matter how many times I set the alarm and put the calendar for it, I always forget the draft night. Even if I remember the draft night, I forget to actually research the guys. So what ends up happening is I'll go, 0-6 or whatever it is, and then, go win six games straight. And then by the time it's the last couple weeks of the season, whatever's the last 4 weeks or however we do our playoffs, it's like, well, I'm fifth or sixth again in our league, and I feel like it happens every year. So, but I do like it though, and I'm a big, big Cleveland Browns fan. So,
you guys are going to be awesome this year.
I hope so. Hey, it should be exciting to see.
Listen, hey, you're not a Lions fan, so you're already ahead of the game. So
That's true.
All right. Let's switch gears. Let's do what we're here to do. Let's talk some Big Ten college football. All right. Let's start it off. So I'll be honest. I am known up here in Michigan as what is a Walmart Wolverine. I went to three colleges in the state of Michigan, but none of them were Michigan. I was just brought up a Wolverine fan. Matt, how did you form your alliance with OSU?
Well, I think it was just the part of living in Ohio, and everybody cheered for Ohio State, so that was kind of the territory. And then my dad also went to Ohio State for his master's. So did actually have some family ties in there. But what's funny about all this is my grandpa was a professor at, I mentioned they were from Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Sure.
So so he was actually a professor at Central Michigan. So I was a Chippewas fan growing up, and they had a couple of good years in the MAC and stuff, playing football growing up, watching them. But it was obviously a big Ohio State fan and some of their better years back then, and with Jim Trussell before it kind of fell apart before Urban Meyer brought him back to being good again. So it was just kind of everybody was all in and had some family that had gone there, and honestly it's still on my bucket list to go to an Ohio State game. I haven't done it yet, but I definitely want to.
Absolutely. It's funny. I knew we were going to be friends for some reason because my wife and I actually both did our master. Well, my wife did her bachelor's and master's through Central, and I did my master's through Central. So fire up chips. There, we got some common
ground. There you go.
Ground.
That's right.
Aaron, so
Did you ever make it over to Pisanello's?
I don't know. I did my undergrad down here in Metro Detroit, and I did my master's through Central through satellite locations. So I went
out. You missed out then.
Yeah. So like my wife took me out there one time. I don't know where we ended up going and doing all that. Aaron, so you went to Michigan. What brought you to Michigan when you came out here?
Well, there's two things. The strength of the College of Engineering, just hands down. I had a great opportunity to go to school there. But then before college football, we really became like everything it is now, and you ESPN Plus, 130 games per weekend, or however many games per weekend, and all these different teams, and everybody being on, it was maybe two or three games per weekend, and seeing your picks coming up.
Got it. Thank you. 10-4.
And seeing Bo and the helmets and the tradition and Anthony Carter and everything that was with the program, and just then to have the opportunity to work with the program, I couldn't say no to Ann Arbor. I just could not say no. And I went to school there and never visited. I showed up in August. I'd seen pictures, and it's not like now where you have the internet and do all these virtual tours.
You're just proving my point that it was when I was a toddler that you went there.
You're welcome. So it was a situation where I went up, sprint summer orientation, went over to move from East Quad to South Quad, and started summer 2 days with the freshmen, and just really thought I fell in love with the campus. I fell in love with the campus, driving up State Street and going by the football building and the stadium and going by Yost and everything associated with the university and campus, and just fell in love with it. And I go back now and see why I was so happy going to school there.
That's awesome. All right. Now that we've got our base to our fandom, let's talk about special moments. We've all seen that one game that stood out to us, whether it was a player or what was that standout moment for you as a fan? Aaron, we'll start with you. What was your standout moment that like is a memory of a game that you will never forget?
I want to go. You put the fan in there, but I was actually on the Michigan sidelines for this one. It was my last game. My absolute last game. We went down, and then it was the Hall of Fame Bowl, and now it's the Outback Bowl down in Tampa. We're playing Alabama, and it was a touchdown pass to John Colazar, and it was fourth and five, fourth and six. Bo had a heart attack. Moeller was coaching. No, literally, he was out. He was out ill.
Oh,
he had a heart attack.
See, I didn't even realize that.
No, I'm being literal in this case. He was out, and Moeller was head coach, and I was doing the headphone cords for Moeller because I had done a bow all season. And on fourth and five, fourth and six, he opted to throw a touchdown pass to Colazar, and we won the game. And there's maybe 40 seconds left, and just an absolute wonderful memory of the trip, of the game, and just an excellent way to end my career at Michigan.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Matt, how about you? What stands out as like that game that you're never going to forget that you saw?
Well, I guess there's two. So the first one was in a bad way, I guess, was the national championship game. And I believe it was against the Gators. And that was when they ran the I want to say it was one of the kickoffs. They ran all the way back, and I can't remember who it was. He went on to play in the NFL, but he was doing a celebration dance in the end zone and like broke his ankle or whatever. It was like it couldn't have started off any better. And then because of that, just like the whole team was just demoralized and completely tanked, and the Gators killed him. And I say I remember that because I was a little kid, And right after that, we went on vacation down to Florida, of all places. And of course, I had my Ohio State shirt on. So then I was getting upset because every restaurant I went to, everyone was doing the gator chomp down there because that's the last time they've been relevant.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, but no, I remember you know, a lot of games of I guess I got to at our high school. We had Jim Tressel come there and meet all the students and kind of do a big presentation and stuff. So that was really neat growing up. And then later on to just the national championship against Alabama. I never thought that they would win against them. So that was really impressive. But yeah, especially just growing up in the early years was really cool. You know, just with how prevalent they were and just, you know, all the kids growing up being excited, wanting to be those players was really fun to watch.
Absolutely. So for me, it was actually going to the Michigan-MSU triple overtime game back in 2004. Me and some buddies had gone just to tailgate, and me and one buddy ended up buying tickets while we were there, went to the game, down 17 points in the fourth quarter. Those two touchdowns to Edwards, just amazing, just to get you to overtime and then go to three overtimes and pull off the win. That stadium was unbelievably rocking. I have never seen anything like that. And that's up there in terms of top five games I've ever been to at moments in college sports that I will just never forget. So that is my Michigan memory that will stay with me forever.
That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, it was so awesome. all right. So it's a new year, new season. Both teams have some challenges that await them. Matt, OSU preseason is ranked fifth. Aaron, Michigan is ranked seventh. If I'm being honest with you guys, I think those are a little high and maybe just based on some name recognition priority there. Matt, what do you think? Is that a true seventh ranking for OSU?
For OSU, I don't think so. I think they're going to have some giant challenges just with Urban Meyer not being the coach anymore. I think he was able to pull a lot of those guys and really make a big impact in there. And I think it's going to take a little bit of time for that team to recover. I mean, it took him a long time after Jim Tressel to you know, it was I forget the other guy's name they had in there for a little while who was decent, but you know, it takes that polarizing figure in there to be able to go in and coach them and do a good job. And not to say that they won't, but I just don't see it, especially how much I got close to struggling last year. And I don't see them doing that well this year, unfortunately. I just don't see it for a couple more years at least.
Hey, listen, I'm with you, and I'm saying that from a Michigan side of things, because for me, you know, Harbaugh's going into his fifth year, and we're going to get to Harbaugh here in a few minutes, but I think that's a very generous seventh place ranking for Michigan. What do you think, Aaron?
I want to disagree with you, and I'm not, because I look at 8, 9, and 10. With Florida, Notre Dame, and Texas. And those are three teams that are perpetually overrated. And Notre Dame had a good season last year, but you know, they typically tank at the end of the year. So I look at who's number six, and it's LSU. And they have a big test coming up. But LSU and Michigan have a lot in common. Established quarterback, new coordinators, and a tough conference schedule. I think now – granted, we'll go over this later, I think Michigan's going to wind up lower than seventh when the end of the season comes around. But I don't think seven right now is a bad spot from considering where Penn State 15, Michigan State 18, Wisconsin 19, Iowa 20, Nebraska 24. It's a tough conference schedule that I really think that they're going to be pretty successful against until the end.
I see where you're coming from there. I like you analyzing outside just the team. Look at you being, you know, smart about it.
I told you before we got on the air, I have five and a half pages worth of notes.
You bring the notes like I normally bring to the Tuesday show is what you came with tonight.
Yeah, I've got the most obscure stat that may be heard on any college football talk radio or podcast if we get around to it.
Well, so it's funny you say that. So Matt, I was actually trying to get us a fourth person. I know pretty well one of the local radio guys, 97.1 The Ticket. He's a Spartan, so I was trying to get equal representation. And I text him. I'm like, Gator, hey, man, I'm doing a thing. What are you doing Thursday? You got an hour? And he goes, man, I'm heading out of town, but that sounds like so much fun. So it's a bummer. Maybe next year we can convince him to come back, because I think that would have been a lot of fun to actually get somebody that gets paid to talk about sports for a living to provide a little commentary here.
Well, that would be good, because I feel like you're about with 2.5, because I'll be honest, I love college football and enjoy watching it, but I've always been more into the players and more into the teams on the pro side. So I feel like I'm not quite, and there's so many people, especially in the South, that are so huge into college football that I feel like sometimes an outsider, because I'm more into pro football. So I enjoy both of them, obviously.
Oh, I'm with you. Well, and it's funny you say, I'm very glad, because when I saw you at MIS in August, I hadn't seen you in the garage yet. And it was by, random circumstance. I was just walking out from where I was doing the show and saw you sitting in the press area. So I'm glad I saw you, and I'm so glad you agreed to do this, because this has been a lot of fun so far. All right. So Aaron knows I've been very, very vocal about the fact that Harbaugh is going into his fifth year as a head coach. It's supposed to be the quarterback guy. He's played nothing but transfer quarterbacks.
That's worked out well.
Right? You know, we've yet to see him develop and recruit somebody that can throw the ball. Matt, you guys have a new head coach as well. You know, you guys are bringing back a decent amount of juniors and sophomores. Are you worried at all about the transition and the adjustment period there?
Well, I think I kind of touched on it earlier. I think so. I mean, I know they got guys that are coming back, and they'll have some strong players, and I think they'll be a decent team. I think there's a chance they could end up in the Sugar Bowl or something like that, but I just don't see them going the distance all the way. I still think you got to look at Clemson and Alabama as being much better top to bottom teams. And really, I'd even put Notre Dame in that category. I just don't think with a big changeup like that in the head coach position. And I just don't see that completely being a good spot for them for the season to be able to compete. I think it's going to take a few years, but it is interesting though, to me, on the Michigan side, that that they haven't had that strong quarterback, especially with Harbaugh being there. You would have thought that they would have that. And I guess maybe I'd ask this over to Aaron, is I don't know if that's a recruiting thing or if that's just the caliber player or the offensive style that they have in Michigan. But that's definitely something interesting that you see there, which is different, especially even looking at Michigan State, guys like Connor Cook that have gone through there that are and Kirk Cousins that have been more of that. Yeah, maybe it's the pro offense or whatever that they run. But I just find that interesting that they haven't had that explosive big arm quarterback at Michigan that's made a huge difference over the years.
I think part of it is Patterson. I want to go back to what you gave as the options. Is the offensive style they're running? They ran, I think it was either the slowest or one of the slowest offenses in all of college football last year. They didn't run a lot of plays. They didn't have a big offensive presence. Now, Patterson last year had exactly 2,600 yards, and his passer rating was almost 150, 22 touchdowns. And you would think in an offense that Harbaugh's running, you'd want to have more opportunities to get the ball in the air. And I think with bringing Gattis in from Alabama, and the receivers absolutely love this new style of offense. And if you got a receiver out there saying, hey, well, I love this offense, guess what? They're throwing the ball a lot. And I think this is going to be I think by definition, it's a make or break year for Patterson. And then you got a guy like Dylan McCaffrey. They've recruited guys, but they've gone the route of what a lot of colleges have gone lately. And it's easier to get this talent transferring in. And you have these kids who are recruits. And Brandon Peters is a good example where you recruited this kid. He played a little bit, and then he's going to start down in Illinois. Now, is he better than Patterson? Probably not. Is he in Michigan's? And Harbaugh's already said, we're going to play two quarterbacks this year because we're going to run this run-pass option. And I think McCaffrey's probably a better fit for it than Patterson is. And you look at somebody who's an athlete like McCaffrey, and his big brother being Christian, and his father being
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he's an All-Pro in the head when he's a wide receiver for the Broncos. So you have a very athletic guy there sitting on your bench, and because Patterson transferred in.
Well, I tell you, you know, the one thing that I am actually more excited about for Michigan, which is something that we've as a team been able to say over the last couple of years, is our defense. If I'm a opposing quarterback coming to play Michigan, I'm taking my offensive line out to dinner the night before, because I need to butter them up. Our defense is going to be, I think, our saving grace this year, and that could be what helps get Michigan maybe to Indy. And that's about as far as I'm going to say that they're going to go, maybe, and it's a maybe Indy. So we'll see.
Yeah, and I would – I hate to disagree with you, but I'm a little bit losing Winovich, Bush, and Gary. I have questions about the secondary, and everybody says Metallus, and I pointed out Metallus last year on this show, and I hope he's stepped up. I hope he's matured, and I hope they have the level of talent. But you've got a team that gave up. I went, and here you go. They gave up 149 points in their first 11 games. They gave up 104 points in their last two games.
Yeah.
63 at Columbus, and then 41 in Atlanta versus Florida. And that was with a high level of talent. And we all sit back and say, and this isn't taking anything away from Don Brown, who, you know, they say this guy's the best recruiter and the best coordinator in the nation. And okay, yeah, that's great for the first 11 games, but if your last two games you give up almost as much as you gave up in the first 11?
Yeah, that's a problem.
There's a problem.
Yep. No, I'm with you. All right. Question for both of you about Michigan. It's Harbaugh's fifth year. He has not gone to Indy. He hasn't beat OSU. He's got Notre Dame, MSU, and OSU at home. Should he be on the hot seat this year? Matt, I'll start with you.
Absolutely. When he first came over there, I was legitimately worried that the routing of Ohio State to Michigan was going to be over. And the crazy thing to me is I think there's been a bigger spread in the difference of those two teams. And I don't understand completely why that is. But I think if you look at the situation there, I mean, you've had very strong teams. You have a coach that should be capable there. I just don't see how, if they go down another year, maybe it's 2 years, I don't see how he keeps his job there, because I think you just, by the tradition of the Ohio State Michigan game, when you look at, you know, that game as a whole, I think it is hard to take as a university, especially if Ohio State beats them again this year. I think it's hard for them to swallow that pill and say, yeah, we're going to keep on sticking with this guy. And maybe I'm wrong, but as a whole for that football team, I think it's hard to know almost every year when you go into that game that even if Michigan's a better team than Ohio State is, they're still kind of seen as the underdog because they haven't been able to do it. So if they don't beat them this year, I absolutely think that Harbaugh becomes on the hot seat.
I'm with you 100% for, you know, fifth year. It's all his guys, and you've got your three biggest rivals.
There's no excuses at
home.
At this point.
Yeah, no, there can't be. There can be no excuses. Aaron, what do you think?
All three of us agree. It's actually one of my questions and the topic I would want to have brought up, except you did. So thank you.
You're welcome.
But I think it. I agree with everything Matt said. You said. And that says a lot. If I'm agreeing with the Buckeye over here, that's true. That's true. No, but you've made all the right points, but I find it, the thing I think might be a hard pill to swallow is he may have another 10 win season, maybe even 11 win season, with a loss to Ohio State. Is that, I'm not sure who out there is going to be somebody who says, yeah, I'm going to hire him because I think he can lead my team better,
right? Yeah,
anybody else out there than Harbaugh can, because Harbaugh can go out and recruit. And I think what's going to happen is with the new offensive coordinator in there, and maybe Don Brown mixes things up a little bit. We get the defense is the defense, and it's just the offense that I say the offense let us down. But then I go back to the example I had, where the last two games of the season something fell apart. The wheels fell off the bus, and that was just abysmal.
I'm with you. All right, guys. We are going to get to the picks here in just a second. Before I do, hang with me 30 seconds. I'm going to do some quick social media plugs. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. While you're there, check out Turn 4 with Intern Teddy. He's got some new stuff up on there as well. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. You can listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, all that. Leave a review while you're there. Don't forget about the follow-away giveaway. Less than 150 followers to go on Twitter. MIS sent me some stuff. I've added some stuff. I've got a huge MIS Lap Traffic swag prize pack to give away in less than 140 followers to go. So go follow on Twitter. Tell your friends. I got stickers and koozies to send you for free. If you want one, hit me up on the website. I'll send them out to you. Guys, I'll let you do some social media stuff here at the end. That said, gentlemen, let's get to the picks. Season kicks off this weekend, which I am very excited about. You know, both teams are opening with a few cupcake games, if you will. Both schools should have some easy victories, but a moment of silence for the Appalachian State game 2007, hashtag never forget. Okay. that said, let's see here. Both teams with two bye weeks this year. Michigan's got one early, then one late in the season. Matt, the Buckeyes have two byes, but they're pretty close together in the middle of the season. We'll run down the list here. We'll pick for both schools week by week, provide any commentary you guys would like. And for week one, since the spread's out, we'll pick with the spreads for week one. Gentlemen, are you ready to make some picks?
Let's do it.
All right.
I am.
All right, Matt, we'll start with you. Your Buckeyes host Florida Atlantic. OSU is opening as a 27.5-point favorite. Do the Buckeyes cover, or are you taking Florida Atlantic with the points?
As much as I want to say that they cover, I remember Florida Atlantic a few years ago. It was a little closer than I would have liked, and sometimes that first week tends to be a little scary. So I'm going to go that Florida Atlantic gets the spread there.
Florida Atlantic with the points. All right, I like that. Matt, Aaron, over to you.
I'm going to go with same thing, that Florida Atlantic will cover, Ohio State will win.
Oh, look at us. The three of us are all on it. Oh, I'm with you right there. All right, we'll switch over to Michigan. Michigan is taking on Middle Tennessee. Michigan is opening at 33.5-point favorites. Aaron, do you have the Wolverines to cover, or does Middle Tennessee and the points get it done?
Here you go. Michigan, when they're favored by more than 31, told you I did research.
Yes, you did.
They are over the last fair amount of years, they're 17-0. They are 6-11 versus the spread. At home, they're no better against the spread. Michigan to win, Middle Tennessee to cover.
Oh, I like that. All right. Matt, what do you
got? You're getting this confused.
I did. I am. I'm looking at two different sets of notes here, making sure I don't miss the lines. Matt, who do you got?
I'm going to take Michigan for the win and to cover, and I think they're going to do it. I'm going to make a prediction here that they're going to win about 54-10.
Like that. I am also taking Michigan to cover. I think they will come out strong here against Middle Tennessee for sure. All right. Week number two, Ohio State takes on Cincinnati. No spread. Heads up. Matt, who do you got?
Definitely Ohio State. I don't think Cincinnati will be nearly strong enough at the week two point. If that's a midseason game, maybe think about it, but I think Ohio State gets them.
I am with you there as well. Aaron, who do you got?
Oh, Ohio State.
Excellent. I think I know where this is going to go for the first few games here. Over to the Michigan game for week two. Michigan takes on Army. Aaron, who do you got?
Michigan. It'll be closer than you think it should be. Army's a good team.
Matt, who do you got?
I agree. Michigan, and Michigan covers.
And I'm with you there as well. All right. Week number three. Ohio State takes on, they're traveling to Indiana. Matt, who do you got?
Indiana. No, I'm going to take Ohio State for that.
Aaron, who do you got?
Ohio State. Now they're not playing. There. This isn't the Purdue weekend for y'all.
This, yeah, right.
That's right. I had to think about it for a second.
But. Right. And week number three, Michigan is on bye, so we'll move over back to Ohio State. Saturday, September 1st, Miami of Ohio comes to visit the Buckeyes. Matt, who do you got?
I love the Mac, but they're getting murdered, Ohio State.
Aaron, I'm assuming you're going that way as well.
I am going the Buckeyes.
And same for me as well. Our third game, the Maize and Blue are traveling to Madison, Wisconsin, currently ranked 19th. This could be a test for the Maize and Blue. Aaron, who do you got?
I don't think it'll be all that much of a test. They did beat Miami last year 35-3. Rebuilding offensive line. They need a new quarterback, inexperienced secondary. I think being the first away game of the season for Michigan, it won't be easy, but it'll be a Michigan win.
I love it. Matt, who do you got?
I completely agree with what he said.
All right. Even though I think it'll be a challenge, I as well have Michigan. Saturday, September 28th, the Buckeyes are traveling to Nebraska. Matt, who do you got?
Nebraska doesn't stand a chance there, Ohio State.
Aaron.
Ohio State.
Excellent. I, too, have Ohio State. September 28th, the Rutgers, one of the newer additions to the league, are coming to the Big House, and they are just going to get murdered when they come to the Big House.
This is one of the games where I had one line of research. They were 1-11 last year. They beat Texas State during the first week of the season, and they lost the next 11 games.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement on that one there. All right, here's where it might get a little interesting. Matt, Saturday, October 5th, the Spartans come to visit Buckeye Nation. Matt, what's been interesting with the Spartans, you guys have had some epic battles with them over the last 10 years, almost kind of filling the role of the Michigan rival. You get them first. Michigan State's going to struggle a little bit, but they're going to come to play. Are you nervous at all about the Spartans?
No, and I only say that because it is at the Horseshoe. So if it was reversed, I think you'd be thinking about it more. But first big home game, I think Ohio State does it there.
Aaron.
Ohio State.
I'm with you. We are all in agreement there. Saturday, October 5th. The Hawkeyes come to the Big House, and I'm pretty sure we're all three in agreement on this one, that Michigan's going to do what Michigan does.
I think so. Iowa's a solid team. They've got a lot of people coming back on defense. They got a lot of people coming back in skill positions. Still a win for Michigan.
Matt?
Yep, I agree completely.
Excellent. All right, October 12th. That week, that is the first bye week for the Ohio State Buckeyes, so we'll go right to Michigan. Aaron, we are traveling to the Fighting Illini. We could send the practice squad down there, I think.
I agree. And another Big Ten coach on the hot seat, Lovie Smith, Michigan win.
Matt?
Yep, Michigan win.
Excellent. All right, all three in agreement so far through midway through the season for both schools. I love it. The next week, Matt, Friday night game for the Buckeyes as you guys go to Northwestern. Who do you got?
You know, Northwestern has been actually better the last few years, but I still have Ohio State.
Aaron.
I'm going to agree with Matt. This is going to be a tougher game than I think anybody's really seeing right now. And it depends on how Northwestern goes. I think Ohio State's going to win, but I think it's going to be close. And I'll point out that Matt none of us have picked a loss for Ohio State yet, but he was pretty unconfident on Coach Day's ability to start. So it's going to be interesting to see where he gets the losses going out from here.
Well, like I said, I think the Big Ten is strong, but it's only strong with a few teams, and I think the Spartans, I'd like them to be a little bit stronger, but I don't think they're there yet. And, we'll see what happens here. Aaron, Saturday, October 19th, we travel to the White House, if you will. It's going to be white for sure when we go to Penn State. Aaron, what happens?
Ooh, I'm glad you asked. Last year at home, now I've got this one. Last year at home, it was 42-7. They were chanting, "We own Penn State." They have a lot of questions on offense. Running back, quarterback, they are solid on defense. I think Michigan won, but it's close. This will be Patterson's first fourth quarter drive of the season to win a game, and it'll be exemplify exactly why they hired Josh Gattis.
Ooh, look at you making some predictions about the October 19th game. Matt,
hey, this is what you pay me for.
Oh, wow.
I
mean, yeah, right. Yeah. Checks
here.
In the mail. Checks
here.
In the mail.
I'm waiting for a shirt in the mail.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting that. Matt, who do you got?
You know, I'm actually going to have Michigan taking the loss.
Michigan takes the loss. All right. So Matt's got Michigan. Ooh, Matt, you there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Okay. That's all right. All right. So Matt's got Michigan's first loss coming for Michigan when we travel to Penn State. All right. So, Aaron, it's you and I with the Michigan win that weekend. All right. Moving right along, Saturday, October 26th, the Wisconsin Badgers come to the state of Ohio. Matt, who do you got?
Well, as it is to say, I think they're going to be needing to eat more cheese curds afterwards because Wisconsin's going to kill them.
Ooh, wow. All right. So there we have it. Matt's first loss to Ohio State comes to Wisconsin. Aaron, who do you have on that one?
I think Ohio State has the home field advantage. I think Wisconsin has too many questions. Right now, Wisconsin has too many questions on offense. Ohio State's going to win that game.
I'm actually with you there as well. Aaron, now here's where I think we got a test. We lost to them last year when we traveled there, when we renewed the, what do you want to call it? How should
rivalry,
I put this?
Yeah,
the rivalry, you know, they put it, you know, Notre Dame.
It's the seasonal matchup.
Yeah, you know, it was. I remember that so much growing up as a kid. Week two was always Notre Dame. And then they just decided to pull the plug. But we started it back up again last year. We traveled there, lost. But we've got them October 26th. What do you got?
Oh, I want to throw this one out here. And I was stunned when I saw this. This is Brian Kelly's 10th year at Notre Dame.
That's crazy. It doesn't seem like it's
I didn't realize that now. No. I think the big thing here is Michigan's coming off a win or a loss, depends on who you ask, versus Penn State, but Notre Dame's coming off an off week. I think this is Michigan's first loss of the season.
All right.
They will drop it to Notre Dame.
All right. Matt, where are you at?
You know what? I'm actually going to have them winning. They're just being at home.
Listen, I'm giving Michigan the benefit of the doubt that they have to win. They're going to have to pull out all the stops. This is one of the rival games that Michigan has at home that they need to win. It's the first of the three rival games at home. So I'm going with Michigan here.
There you go.
All right. We are going to stick with Michigan because Ohio State's got an off week, the week of November 2nd. Aaron, we are going to Maryland, where, much like the Rutgers recently joined and probably wish they hadn't, I've got Michigan handily on this one.
Yeah, this is an interesting one, and I didn't realize this. The new head coach there, Mike Locksley, and you look him up, he was listed as the offensive coordinator at Alabama. Wait a minute. I thought Josh Gattis was the offensive coordinator at Alabama. They were co-offensive coordinators. So you're going on the road after a hard loss, possible loss, hard game versus Notre Dame against somebody who knows Gattis. Michigan wins, but it'll be interesting.
Matt, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with him. I think it'll be a Michigan win, but I think it's going to be closer than it would seem from on paper just by the names.
Fair enough. All right, well, we're all three back on track there. We will go back to Ohio State, two in a row here because Michigan's got an off week the following week after. You guys get Maryland coming to you guys the following week. Matt, how are you guys going to fare against Maryland?
Yeah, I think they're going to do fine there. I think that's a win for them.
Excellent. Aaron.
Oh, win.
Excellent. All right. I am with you guys For sure there. It's a Ohio State. All three there. Excellent. All right. Here's where it gets interesting. This week, Saturday, November 16th, Matt, you guys are going to the Rutgers. Who do you got?
I still think Ohio State gets it there. Usually they have some stupid loss in there, which in my opinion is the Wisconsin one. So there's always that one, it seems like, until they kind of figure some things out. But so, yeah, I think that's a win there.
Fair enough. Aaron, who do you have for that one?
I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm sorry. I got distracted. I'm like, who am I going to draft next? Ohio State.
Excellent. All three of us there. All right, Aaron. Here's where it gets interesting. Saturday, November 16th, the Spartans come to visit the Big House. All right, Aaron, do we get some redemption here?
Oh, well, I mean, won last year.
Well, we did. I mean, we won there. We haven't beat them here at home in a minute.
Yeah, and well, okay. To answer the question, yes, Michigan wins. Michigan State's a lot like last year. Questionable offense, and there's an interesting one. 130 teams in top-level college football, they had the 126th rated offense. However, they had the 8th rated defense.
Well, listen, I'm with you. I think Michigan's going to win, but I think it's not going to be the blowout win that I'd like it to be. So I'm with you there. Matt, who do you got, Michigan or the Spartans?
Yeah, I think if it's in East Lansing, it would be the Spartans there. But I think just because it is at the Big House, I see that one, unfortunately, going to the Wolverines.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. We'll take it. All right, we got two games left. Saturday, November 23rd, Penn State comes to Ohio State. It's a battle of state colleges. Matt, who do you got?
That is a loss for Ohio State.
Matt with the second loss to Ohio State. All right,
I know.
Aaron.
I know.
Aaron, who do you got?
I've got Penn State in this one.
Aaron with Penn State as well. You guys may notice the trend here. I'm going with Ohio State. I want Ohio State undefeated when they come to the Big House. So I'm going with Ohio State there. All right, Saturday, November 23rd, we are traveling to Indiana. Aaron, who do you got?
Michigan. Not many notes on this one. It'll be closer. It'll be closer than it should be.
Matt, who do you got?
Yeah, I got Michigan.
Excellent, and I have Michigan as well. All right. It is now time for the last game of the season, one of the biggest rival games of the season in all of college football. Michigan will host OSU for the 116th meeting, where Michigan leads the overall series 58-51-6. But here's the but. OSU has won the last 7 in a row and 16 of the last 18. Matt, I think you need to come back on in November, and we can bring up the friendly wager again, perhaps. Maybe we can do something for charity, something like that, maybe raise a little money for a good cause or something like that. I think that would be fun. We've got some time to work that out. But right now, early season pick. Matt, who do you have in the big one?
Well, I don't think I could possibly pick any different than Ohio State in this game. If I did, I would be ashamed of myself
for
that one.
So fair enough.
And to our earlier point, I think this is the pinnacle game for Harbaugh's career there. So I think I have Michigan losing, and I think you see a coaching shakeup there in the offseason. I'm gonna make a bigger prediction with it.
Woo, I like it. All right, Aaron, where are you at on this one?
I guess I'm going to lose my Michigan hat or Michigan card on this one. You know, we've talked about it, new head coach. But Ohio State doesn't rebuild. They reload. They've kind of, I'll say, recruited. They drew away Madison. They drew away the linebacker coach. It was kind of the ultimate, and if you can't beat them, join them. A new talent, new coach, same results. Michigan loses.
Oh, Aaron with Michigan's second loss there. Listen, I've had Michigan go undefeated here, right? And I truly believe that they can go the first 11 games. This one is the question. But like Matt, where would I be if I didn't pick my school? So Harbaugh to redeem himself in his fifth year, and I am going with the maize and blue. All right. There you have it. We have picked it all. Let's see here. Quick recap. Matt, you've got Ohio State losing to Wisconsin and Penn State. Aaron, you've got Michigan losing to Notre Dame and Ohio State. And I've got them going 12-0. Someone's going to be wrong, and I'll bet that it's me. How's that?
You know what? I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But I just don't see a way. In being at home, you'd want it to be an advantage.
Absolutely.
But I've been in enough games there. It gets louder at Kinnick Stadium for Iowa because we play in a big bowl. The sound goes straight up. It's freaking cold, usually. And it's a little bit later this year. I want to see Patterson go in and do well. It's a running back by committee. We don't have solid running backs. Maybe somebody steps up by then. You have question marks on defense. I got enough question marks on defense to say we're not going to give up 63, but I'm not sure they're going to win the game.
Hey, listen, I feel you. I feel you. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. There you have it, our college football preview. Guys, I hope you had a blast. Aaron, where can everybody follow you at on social media?
It is now at Aaron Studwell. I am kind of keeping race weather up to date on Facebook, but just with more media articles from Matt Weaver or Moody or just people that are interesting articles, just to kind of keep the content fresh there. You follow me at Aaron Studwell. It's going to be racing stuff, some weather stuff, and just football stuff, and kind of just follow me. This has been a lot of fun. Matt's been great talking to you on here.
Awesome.
Yeah, Matt, you as well. Matt, thank you.
Matt, where can everybody follow you at on social media and keep up with you and the team?
Sure, yeah. It's at Matt_Tift, T-I-F-F-T. There are two F's in there. Otherwise, you'll probably end up with somebody else, and you can tell them hello, but they probably won't be me.
Awesome. Aaron, thanks so much for coming on the show tonight. Good luck this weekend in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. Matt, thank you so much for taking an hour of your time. I know you guys are busy, so thank you so much. It really means the world to me to have you come on, do some non-NASCAR stuff. Good luck this weekend at Darlington. I hope you and your family have a blast honoring your tradition in racing. And I will be at Richmond, so I will definitely come in and see you there in a couple weeks.
All right, sounds good. And on a final note, I'm just going to go ahead and leave this with Go Bucks.
Awesome. I love it. Gentlemen, enjoy the games this weekend, and we will talk to you soon.
Go Blue. Talk soon.
Lapped Traffic Nation. How awesome was that? So much fun talking to Matt and Aaron there for an hour. Like I said, for a cup driver to give an hour of his time on Thursday night before heading out to Darlington to come on the show, that just means the world to me. That's awesome. And Aaron too. But Aaron's not driving cups. So props to both of those guys for coming on the show and doing something non-NASCAR. Guys, I hope you enjoyed this bonus show, non-NASCAR show for the most part. A little Big Ten college football preview there. Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 147 of the Lap Traffic Podcast, the bonus show, the ode to college football. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, review the show. Don't forget about the giveaway. Huge, huge thanks to Aaron Studwell and Matt Tift for calling into the show tonight. Don't forget to check out Tuesday's show as well. Have fun with Darlington. Enjoy the holiday weekend. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya. Go Blue.